from this passage. I don't remember the title of it. But I've never heard anybody else teach it correctly. But we're coming into a season now where this is going to be part and parcel for you and you. The days of the fivefold ministry are going to always be here, of course, but the body ministry is increasing in the earth. And your place in the body and whatever he's called you to do. And one thing I know for sure, he's called you to teach. And let me show you from this passage here, Hebrews 5. Now I'm going to read on, and I'm going to tell you what normally happens in this passage, why people don't normally get this. And it was a long time. I'll be honest with you, the Holy Spirit had to build other walls of revelation in me for years before I really finally understood what Dave was trying to get across to us all those years ago. And but you're going to get it tonight. Amen? You're going to get it, and it's going to be simple. You're going to understand it. It's going to change you forever. Okay? That's my confession, and that's what we're having. All right. Okay, we'll start here in verse 12. Now, this is what I mean when I say he's calling everybody to teach in this generation. He says in verse 12, Hebrews 5:12, "For when the time you ought to be teachers." You who? Everybody reading. Everybody hearing the epistle. Well, teachers... Well, that doesn't mean he's calling you to the fivefold office of a teacher. Like, I'm not called to be an evangelist, but I am called to be a witness. And I am called to share my testimony. And I am called to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Amen. That doesn't make me an evangelist. That's not my primary calling. Well, your primary calling might not be teacher, but we all teach. Actually, you're teaching now. Someone a long time ago said, "Preach the gospel every day. When necessary, use words." Your life is teaching and preaching every single day. And for many people that don't go to church at all, you're the only Christ they may see today at all. That's just you. But this is going a little beyond there. This is talking about actually teaching. So let's go on here. It says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers..." In other words, there's been enough time go past. You've heard enough. I've taught you, whoever the writer of Hebrews is, I've taught you enough. By this time, you ought to be teaching others. But look what's happened. "You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as has need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk," now get this, "is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, this will only make sense if you keep it in the light of the entire book of Hebrews. What is the purpose of this letter? Well, these are people, Jewish people that grew up in a Jewish household. No doubt, as children, they were, you know, "Mommy, Daddy, how do I please God?" Well, you please God by keeping the law, son. That's how you do it. You keep the law, and you study the law, and you do your best to keep it. And whenever you mess up, you repent and you offer the appropriate sacrifice, and then once that sacrifice has been offered, God accepts that, your slate is cleared, and you're right with God again. So you got to keep the law. That's how you please God, son. That's how you do it. Okay, but then somebody comes through and preaches the final sacrifice. Jesus, the Lamb of God, preaches Christ crucified, and these people heard the gospel and believed it and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and became born again. But after that, and you can read it in chapters 10 and later on in this book, great persecution came on them. All kinds of pressure came on them to deny Jesus reject him and go back to the law of Moses. Now, that's why it's talking about being unskillful in righteousness. Because without righteousness, you're not going to please the Lord. You know that? Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So, the cross preaches righteousness as a gift. Amen? The law preaches righteousness as something you earn. They're unskillful. So these teachers are coming. I can just see them, you know, with the curly locks and the black clothes and the long beards. And they're very intimidating, you know, just thundering at these young believers. Who do you think you are? Who is this Jesus from Nazareth? I usually put in, because he didn't go to the great schools and what a theology of those days, you know, not like Saul did. And who is this hillbilly from Nazareth? He doesn't have any credentials. He doesn't have a master's or a doctorate or anything in the law. You know, we don't know who he is. We know who Moses is. We know God spoke to Moses. You need to reject this Jesus and go back under the law. Boy, you could pressure, you know. Plus, they were discriminated against as Christians. They were denied the best jobs. Sometimes they could not attend university if they were questioned. And they found, in other words, pressure, persecution, affliction for the word's sake has come to move them back. Let me say it a little different way. These theologians, Pharisees, Sadducees, so forth, they're saying, no, there is no righteousness at the cross. If you're going to be righteous before God, you have to keep the law of Moses. Remember, that's what the Judaizers in Galatians, that was their whole deal. They come after Paul had come through and won them to Jesus. What was their message? No, to be saved, you have to be circumcised according to the law of Moses, or you can't be saved. And you could go to the book of Acts, and there was a whole trip to Jerusalem and the council that took place. And finally it was decided, you don't have to be circumcised or anything else. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So in that context, when he says you're unskillful in the word of righteousness, that's what it means. Am I righteous because of Jesus, or am I righteous because I keep the law? And depending which way they go, see, because the end of this book, if you get near the end of it, he says, if you reject Jesus and trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ, he basically says there is no other Savior. The first covenant has been, in this book it says, the first covenant has been done away. He taketh away the first. And now he's talking about the Mosaic covenant. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. The message to the people here is there is no first covenant to go back to. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. So this understanding righteousness, and way more than what I'm saying right now, we'll see here in a minute. You've got to mature in righteousness. Otherwise, you're going to stay on milk. Now, we haven't even got to the part that I was saying about Dave yet. We haven't got to that part. All right. Well, how do you go from a person on milk to a person on meat? That answer is right here in verse 14. Let's read 13 and 14 together. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Well, how did they get to be full age? How did they get off the milk? Even those who by reason of use, have their senses. What if I said body? Have their body exercised to discern both good and evil. This is beyond your spirit knowledge. This is even beyond your mental knowledge. You have trained your senses. How did you do it? By the use of the word of righteousness. Not the knowledge of the word of righteousness. By the use of it. Or you'll see what I mean here in a minute. We'll come back around to this. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, and what he means that principle, he just means like the foundation stones, the very basic, elemental You should learn these in Kingdom Living 101. Let us go on unto perfection. That means maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. That's number one. Repentance from dead works. He's talking about keeping the law. Do we have to lay that again? You're unskillful in the word of righteousness? We told you in the beginning. What did Paul say about his pedigree? He says, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. According to the law, he says, I was perfect. Meaning nobody perfectly kept it, but he offered every sacrifice in the sight of the law. He was perfect. He did what he's supposed to do. But he says, all of that, I count it as, I'm going to be nice, rubbish. I put it on the rubbish pile for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Having no righteousness of my own, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen? But Paul was no longer, he was not unskillful. He had put this word of righteousness to use. You'll see what I mean in a minute. Now, remember, the whole purpose of this letter, don't forsake Jesus. Don't leave. See, these once saved, always saved people, I don't know what kind of Bible they have. Because this whole letter exists for the very purpose of, I know you're saved right now, but if you reject Jesus, you are going back to damnation and there is no other path to God. That's the whole purpose of the whole letter. What do you mean, once saved, always saved? You reject Jesus, honey, and I mean really reject Him, you're not going to make heaven. Hallelujah. Made a lot of people mad right there. Good. So, wake up. You want eternal security? Here it is. Get saved, love Jesus, serve Jesus till you die. You are eternally secure. That is eternal security. Okay. Now He has great mercy for all of our stumbling and bumbling all along the way. I do not recommend rejecting Him. Anyway. Therefore, leaving these first principles, the first one He mentions is repentance from dead works and faith towards God. That's talking about faith towards the finished work of Jesus Christ. Okay. Of the doctrine of baptisms. Did you notice there's an S on there? Baptisms. It's not just one baptism. Where I grew up, there's only one baptism, really, and that's baptized in water. Well, that is one of the baptisms. There's also a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Spirit and ghost is Holy Spost. But there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a baptism into the death of Christ. You've been baptized into Christ. Okay? So there's baptisms. By now, what if we had a test? Who's ready to teach on this? How many of you are ready to teach? How many baptisms are there? No hands for benefit. There's no hands going up. By now you ought to be teachers. Got one. Got one here. Okay? All right? But we should be. And if you're not already thinking along this line, he says by now you should be teachers. Should be ready to help people that don't understand. And of laying on of hands. Hey, where I grew up, I never saw hands laid on anybody for anything. There's a doctrine of laying on of hands. And of the resurrection of the dead. And of eternal judgment. And he calls those things the most basic, foundational, elemental principles. And I'm telling you right now, most pastors will fuss over those things. Going on. This we will do, because we still haven't got to it. Now, here's the part that I mentioned, that where Dave was the only person I ever heard teach this correctly. And I couldn't even understand it for the longest time. And this we will do, if God permit. For it is impossible. Now, again, I have to keep saying this or we're going to get off. This is where people get off track because their mind begins focusing on something that is not the intention of the writer. The intention of the writer is to get these people not to reject Jesus and go back to the law. That is the purpose of the whole letter. Okay? All right? And he's warning them, you're in danger of doing this. But in that, he says, and the reason you're in danger is your own milk. Now watch. Now, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened, would you say born again, have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. These are people that are not only saved, they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Not only that, they have tasted of the good word of God. Now get this one. And the powers of the world to come. It's pretty good, isn't it? If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Well, that's pretty severe, isn't it? All right. Now, everybody normally when they read this, they get all focused on, what do you mean you can't renew them to repentance? They focus right there, and that's not the purpose of this letter. What he's trying to say is, look, you guys are on milk. And because of that, you're in danger of falling away. This is what Dave was getting across to us 15, 20 years ago. He said, what he's saying to them is, look, you need to get off of the milk and begin to eat strong meat, because then you'll become like these guys who have tasted of the power. They not only have been born again, they've been filled with the Holy Ghost. They've tasted the good word of God and even of the powers of the world to come. And they're not going to be rejecting Jesus. That's what he's saying. But as long as you're on milk, you're in danger. That's the purpose of this letter. You're in danger of falling away. And if you do fall away, there is no other Savior. There is no other Savior. So the real message here is get off the milk. Now, getting off the milk, you can't be done without doing. Now, go back up. Here's the point. I like how Alan said this the other day. He said, knowledge without legs puffs up. Knowledge with legs is wisdom. Amen? See, that is a transforming knowledge. When you have knowledge that you put it into action, that is transforming knowledge. Just to have knowledge and never put feet to it, never use it, that'll just puff you up. It does not change you. See? And many, many people have a lot of knowledge that don't have any feet. Now, back up to chapter 5 again. He says, everyone, verse 13, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, now by the way, this book, you know, in Corinthians, he says in chapter 3 to the Corinthians of 1 Corinthians, he says, you know, your babies, I fed you with milk and not with meat. I'm not even able to give you meat now. So all of 1 Corinthians, which is scary, that's the chapter that has, chapter 12 is all the gifts. Chapter 13 is the love chapter. And all of that book, Paul says, that's milk. Scary. The book of Hebrews has got some meat in it. You like some T-bone, do you? Like some T-bone? Get into the book of Hebrews, okay? But now, really though, that's the key here. How do I go from being a babe on milk, on this righteousness thing? How do I grow up? And he tells you here, strong, verse 14, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. How do you go from milk to meat? By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Go to Romans chapter 2. In these last few months, through Nathan and really others, but especially Nathan, over and over and over again, God is showing us how this gift of righteousness really works. See, I said Romans 2. Let me see if I have this one underlined. Yes. But you can hold your place there in Romans 2, but go to Romans 5 just for a moment. See, this Over there in Hebrews, he says you're unskillful in the word of righteousness. Well, let's look at righteousness for just a moment. And it's Romans 5, look at verse 17. And you know he's talking about Adam here, and by one man's sin, disobedient sin and death came into the world. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, now notice, and of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, just so you'll know, that reign in life covers a lot of things, but in the context, he's primarily talking about reigning over sin. Reigning over sin. Chapter 6, the very next chapter, what's that all about? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. We're supposed to reign. Grace has given us righteousness free by the finished work of Christ. There's something about that. See, it's been taught to the body of Christ that you're still just that same old sinner. It's like God came and put a white robe of righteousness on your wretched self. And you're still that old wretched, sinful self underneath that robe of righteousness. The idea being, if we was to peek, and I'm just talking about the men, I'm not going to peek under any women's robes, but if you peek underneath the robe, you're still going to see that filthy, dirty sinner on the inside. And we're going, well, there's no power to change. How does that cause you to reign? You can't reign with that understanding. That's right. Amen. You can't reign if you're still that same old sinner. You didn't change. He just clothed. That's Old Testament righteousness. That's accounted righteousness. You do have that. You do have that robe. But the gift of righteousness he's talking about is more than some just robe on the outside that left you unchanged on the inside. The gift of righteousness is he put a nature on the inside of you which is holy and righteous at its core. We peel back that robe, we don't see some dirty sinner under there. You would shine like Jesus shone on the Mount of Transfiguration, because as he is, so are we in this world. But we don't use that righteousness. And to be honest, we've had a lot of help from preachers. I'm talking about the church at large. Telling us, you're just an old sinner. You haven't changed. You know who you are. And they're basing all of that on your performance and not on the Word of God. But look at it again in your Bible. In verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Boy, did it ever. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. Now get this. And the gift of righteousness, that's not according to the law. You earn stuff under the law, but by the finished work of Christ, when you put your faith in him, you not only get accounted righteousness like a robe, you get the gift of a righteous nature on the inside of you. We started off in Hebrews. It's in that same book where he says, God says, I'm making a new covenant with you. You're not going to have to look externally now to find my law. I am going to write my law in your mind and in your heart. You're going to have it on the inside. How does he do that? By changing your nature. It is the very gift of righteousness on the inside of us. And we are empowered now, if we'll learn how to use that righteousness, put feet with our knowledge. We're going to look at that, how to do that. Real quick here, put feet with the knowledge and begin to use the righteous nature he gave us. Even your senses eventually will be exercised to discern both good and evil. Just making sense. All right? This is how you grow up. This is how you get off the milk. All right? Now back up to chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. No, I'm preaching good here. Getting out of breath. Start in verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For, now that means he's still continuing the same thought. For when the Gentiles, well, wait a minute, back up. The Gentiles never had the law of Moses in the first place. That was the whole Jerusalem council. Shall we go and make them be circumcised? Shall we put them under the law of Moses? And that was the whole Jerusalem council in the book of Acts. And the conclusion was no, but you don't have to put them under the law. But notice, when the Gentiles, they were never taught the law of Moses. But they do by what? Boy, if you underline in your Bible. These are people that have been born again. God has given them that gift of righteousness by giving them the very nature of Christ. They by nature, nobody had to teach them externally. They by nature, they do the things contained in the law. Like what? Thou shalt not steal. Don't have to teach them, thou shalt not steal. You get born again, you know you shall not steal. There's a witness on the inside. It comes part and parcel instantly with the new nature. You know it. Yes, for kind of. Okay. You're sorting something out for me there that you'll hear another time, but that's good. Okay. When the Gentiles, they were never taught the law, but now they're doing by nature, the things contained in the law. These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. If you want to know, verse 15, actually 14 and 15, 13, 14, 15 together, that is how you put feet to the knowledge of the gift of righteousness. This is how you go from just having knowledge, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I mean, you should be confessing that. I am the righteous. How many of you know you are the righteousness of God? He was made to be sin, that you know sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen? Good stuff, right? But see, that knowledge alone doesn't change your life. This changes your life. Let me say it another way. This changes your walk. This is how you begin to use. You don't stay a baby just having that little head knowledge. Now, you're starting to put to use this gift of righteousness that He put on the inside of you. And it comes every time. We'll start with the grapes at Reeser's grocery store. You're hungry. You're going through the store. Suddenly, there are grapes and nobody's watching. That Reeser guy is pretty rich. He won't miss a few grapes. And maybe you've done it for years, but then, you know, and your conscience never bothered you at all. But then you came to one of those Dave Roberson conferences, and at the altar call, you came and you got saved. Now you're back in Reeser's for the first time since you have a gift of righteousness. And say, I'm hungry. I think I'll just eat a few of these grapes. And nobody had to preach to you now. Suddenly there's a preacher on the inside. There's a new nature on the inside. And you don't hear the words, thou shalt not steal. You don't hear that. Boy, does it communicate. And it is effective. You know how your conscience works, right? And you're reaching to take the grapes, and there's something on the inside now going, don't do it. Now right there, you're either going to stay a baby, or you're going to start exercising your senses by reason of use of the real gift of righteousness that you've been given. And it may start on that level. Oh, gosh, I can't. And then tax season rolls around. And, you know, you weren't as bad as most people, but maybe there was a little fudging on your taxes, just a little bit, you know. Tax season rolls around. Something that you've done for years. And all of a sudden, you're about to do that again. Now you've got a righteous nature on the inside of you. Nobody has to teach you anything. You can't get away with that. You can't do that. And if you do, you're going to get smited. Is that a good old King James word? You're going to get taken to the woodshed in your spirit. You're going to get a whooping. This is how the Father disciplines His children. Okay? Yes, sir. Now, this is part of what He was said to me a while ago. See, this is part of the danger of you don't have to repent anymore, this false grace message that you don't even have to repent. Listen, that is on purpose searing your conscience. You keep doing that and saying, it's okay, I don't have to repent. It's okay, I don't have to repent. It's okay. Pretty soon, you can sear that conscience or you can't even hear it anymore. Then you'll be coming and getting in the prayer line. I need to hear God. I can't hear God. And the trouble is, the Holy Ghost, He speaks to you through that same door where you hear the voice of that conscience. He speaks through your new nature, that same place in you. If you nailed, you know, figuratively, you nail 2x12s over that door because you don't want to hear your conscience anymore because you want to keep sinning. And you nail 2x12s over it. Then you go, you stand in front of that door and go, I can't hear you, God. You did that. And that teaching where you don't have to repent, you don't have to say, I'm sorry, you don't have to keep a tender, close walk with your Father. It will purposely, absolutely, 100%ly sear your conscience. And the teachers are helping people do it by the thousands. Okay, that's not the message tonight. Now, hold your place in Romans 2. I should have had you keep Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews 5 just for a moment. Pinch them together. Okay, now we started this. See, the goal is to become like these second people that the writer... We want to become people that have not only been born again, but we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We have tasted of the good word of God. How about tasting of the powers of the world to come? I want that. Don't you want that? And what he's saying is, look, these guys, they're on meat. It's almost impossible for them to fall away. They're not in danger of that. You're in danger. And the reason you're in danger, you still don't even understand righteousness yet. You don't understand the gift of righteousness that you've been given. So how you go from milk to meat, again, he says it right here in Hebrews 5, verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, it doesn't mean they haven't heard it. He says they're unskillful at it. See, I can read a book on brain surgery. How many of you wants me to operate on you right after I read that book? There's a little bit more to the training. Amen? There's a little more to the training. See? You know? I went to university. I know y'all don't think I did, but I did. And I passed. And part of it was civil engineering, you know? And so, you know, civil engineering, one of the things you would do there would be design a bridge. Well, when I started there, you do not want to drive over a bridge that I designed. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm unskillful in the designing of bridges. But a guy who goes through the curriculum and passes the tests and actually gets involved, you know, with the laboratory work and actually doing it, that guy can actually go build a bridge that you can drive over. Well, just hearing about your righteousness over and over, you can sit and hear about it for years and never grow off the milk. And you're still in danger of being led away by false doctrine. But if you make up your mind, then tonight would be a good time. I mean, from this night on, Lord, I know you put that righteous nature on the inside of me. And from this point on, I'm going to start listening. What I hear, I'm going to obey that. What I hear, I'm going to obey that. And it's not just, in the beginning, it will be things so simple like the grapes at Reese's. That's the reason. I mean, it's like green light, red light. It starts off with a moral compass. You know, don't tell that lie, whatever it is. But I'm telling you, then the Holy Ghost, He began speaking through that same place in you. That's where your leadership comes. Everybody's always getting in the line. I need to hear from God. Well, you don't have to get into a line to hear from God. I mean, I thank God for Dave and that he's heard and prophesied. But the point of this covenant, you're supposed to be able to hear God for yourself. Amen? And it starts with using. Look at it again here. Everyone, verse 13, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age. How did they go? How did they get to be a full age? Through those who by reason of use. Use of what? Righteousness. Not just the word of righteousness, but righteousness itself. You have been given the gift of righteousness. It's on the inside of you right now. It speaks to you through your heart and through your mind. His laws have been written on the inside of you. You don't have to, you don't need anybody else telling you. You know yourself. And how you grow in that is by using the gift of righteousness that you've been given. And as you do that, you get off the milk. You start walking with Him, talking with Him, fellowship with Him. Oh, that's when life starts getting exciting and scary. Really? Exciting and scary? It is exciting. I feel sorry for people who just sit in church safely for 60 years and never launch out onto the water, you know. You know, if God ever tell you something that's beyond you and you hear it and obey it. For Sue and I, one of them was when it comes to finances, it was just amazing how God just kept lovingly, we're like little birds, and He put us out in a little nest on a tree. You know, here's a nice little nest, and He just here, and He step by step, He got us in this nice little comfortable nest on this tree, and then we're on a limb. And then He cut the tree off behind us. And suddenly we find ourselves with no means of support, no tithe from any church, no nothing. And He's going, believe me and obey me. I'm going, what? What? And what's funny, I could have preached, I could have taught about finances and having faith in God and kingdom finances. I could have taught just eloquently on it. Walking in it is a whole different thing. Okay. And I'm telling you right now, we got a whole church full, not just here, but everywhere. There's a whole church. Most of the church is still being taught. When I say most, I mean most of the church worldwide is still being taught. They're just an old sinner saved by grace. Of those who know the truth, I am the righteousness of God. And of those that can speak the truth because they have heard it enough, most of that church world too is still on milk. Because of lack of use. You don't grow by just hearing it. You grow through the use of it. And when it comes to the walk of righteousness, how you do that? Back to Romans 2 again. We're going to go through it again. We may go through it 100 times this year, and that's okay. There is no other path. This is how God gave us the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness is supposed to cause us to reign over sin. Well, that is more than wearing a robe, honey. That's more than just, I'm still just the same old sinner with a white robe on now, you know, a righteous robe on. You know what the church is doing? I saw this. Okay, you know what Gary did for years? God gave me this righteous robe. He really changed me on the inside to a new creature, but I didn't really believe that. I believed the programming I had received for years growing up in a denominational church. Gary, you're still just an old sinner saved by grace. And from God's point of view, what I was doing, I took that white robe He gave me and I drug it through the mud puddles for years. And thinking I really had no choice because that's just who I am. I thank You for this white robe. I'm still sinning though. Why? Because I have to. I'm still just an old sinner saved by grace. I appreciate the robe, Lord. And have to go back for a fresh cleansing all the time. That is not what He has done for us. He did give you a robe of righteousness, but He also gave you the gift of righteousness. And that gift of righteousness is on the inside of you. And how it functions is like this. In that new nature, in that righteousness, is the law of God. It is written right there. Let's look at it again, Romans 2. Starting in verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they were never taught God's law externally. Nobody came and taught them. They got born again. So now by nature, they keep the things in the law. These, having not the law, the written law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. So it's just like Nathan's taught eloquently, I think, again and again. God wrote His law in your heart. You've got it. That's part and parcel with the gift of righteousness. So you're about to do something. Okay? And that law comes up, and there's a thought that comes with it that either excuses or, how does it say it? Accuses. It's either excuses or it accuses that thought. Like, don't do it. Nathan's one of his current things. Don't touch the woman. You know, if you're not married, don't touch the woman. That will start a freight train you can't control. Men, is he preaching the truth? He is preaching the truth. Okay. I'm 70, but I remember very well. Anyway. So he's saying, if you're not married, don't touch the woman. See? Well, but you want to. There's a war. This is Galatians 5. Now there's a war between the flesh that does not care about the law of God at all, and this righteousness on the inside of you, which by nature wants to keep the law. And there's a war going on. All right. Galatians 5. You knew he was going there, didn't you? Galatians 5. This is the war. Of course, this is the... Dave's book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, that's exactly what's being taught right here. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and that should be a little S if you want to know the truth of it. There's no war going on. Trust me, your flesh, go to war against God, the Holy Spirit, that will be the shortest war ever recorded in history. You'll be toast so quick. It's not talking about that war. It's talking about that righteous nature, that new spirit on the inside of you, at war with your flesh. But if you walk in the Spirit, if you walk in the new nature, if you learn how to walk, just like Romans 2 just said, how do I do it? Romans 2, what we just read, listen to the voice, that voice of the righteousness that comes from the inside of you. If you learn to walk by it, now your flesh will try and override it every single time. But if you learn to walk by the Spirit, that new nature, then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if words mean anything, if you don't listen to it, you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's the war. And as long as you keep doing that, you're unskillful in the word of righteousness. You don't have your senses exercised yet. You haven't trained it. I'm finding out fasting has a lot more to do with that than I ever thought it did. Fasting has a lot more to do with it than I thought. And I'm going to know more about that next year than I know this year. But I'm getting a lot of real experience this year. Here we go, 17. We'll try and finish this up here pretty quick. Only an hour or two. You'll be okay. For the flesh lusteth against. How about wars against? The flesh wars against that new nature. All of these should be little s. The flesh loves against that new nature. The new nature against the flesh. Your spirit is holy. Your spirit does not want to get drunk. Your spirit does not want to commit fornication. Your spirit does not want to steal. It is righteous. It is holy. And it's at war with the flesh, which is the opposite. The flesh, the mantra of the flesh is, if it feels good, do it. And if it felt really good, let's do it again. That's the flesh. And it don't care about God or God's law or nothing else. And sometimes there's suffering in the flesh. He that has ceased from sin has suffered in the flesh. My flesh, sometimes it don't like it. And there's things like withdrawals, so forth. Well, sometimes. Anyway, for the flesh lusts against that new nature, the new nature against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. And they're never going to be the same. So that you cannot do the things that you would, but if you be led of the Spirit. Now what, in another way, today, let's say, if you do Romans 2, that's how you do it. If you learn to listen to the voice of that new nature and don't violate your conscience, if you learn how to do it, you're not under the law because you've got the law on the inside, see? Then he starts listing the works of the flesh, and this is not all inclusive. Starts off, you know, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, which could better be translated drug abuse, because the word is pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy from. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which, I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, that is one unpopular scripture right there. That is one unpopular scripture. Now, if you really look at it in the Greek, he's not saying you slipped up once in your life. No, if this is your lifestyle, you are a reviler, you are a hater, you are an unforgiver, you are a drunkard. If that is your lifestyle and that's your habitual lifestyle, you're in danger. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit, and again, that should be new, that little S, the new nature, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have what? Crucified the flesh. If any man will follow me, let him take up his cross daily. Deny himself and take up his cross daily. The cross only has one purpose. Nobody ever put anybody on a cross to hurt them. They put them on a cross to kill them. And you put your flesh on the cross for the same reason. Okay? But how do you do it? In practical terms, you know, I'm an engineer. I like theories, okay. I like practical stuff. How you do that, crucify the flesh, is Romans 2. We're going to look at it one more time, then I'm really going to quit. It's so important. It's not rocket science. He didn't leave us wondering how to do this. How do you crucify the flesh? You do it by this little passage here in Romans 2. There it is. Verse 14, when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Well, how do I do it, Brother Gary? How do I do it, Brother Paul? How do I do that? Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, that was written the day you got born again. The instant you were born again, God's law was, because it comes part and parcel with the new nature. Their conscience also bearing witness. Just try and violate it. Tell a lie, try to get away with it as a Christian. Can't get away with that. You get a whooping, every step you're taking away, you turn around right now and you apologize. You confess that right now. You know, and that's your conscience. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So that means everything he listed over there in Galatians 5. Let's take pharmakia. Well, I need, I never did use drugs other than nicotine and alcohol, which are drugs. But let's go with Nathan's deal. Crack. Okay? So Nathan had to battle crack. Right? He's had a lifestyle of gangsters and crack. Crack cocaine, if you don't know what I'm talking about. Now, you get born again. There's a new righteous nature on the inside. And you have a thought of, I need to go buy more crack. All right? Now, there's going to be a thought arising that accuses that. No, we don't do pharmakia anymore. We don't do drugs anymore. And the flesh is going to say, bet me. I will make your life miserable. I will put you through withdrawals. I'll make you wish you'd never been. You better give me what I want. No, 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 no. There's the war right there. And by reason of use, how do you grow in righteousness? How do you grow from a baby on milk to somebody ready for meat? You have to start using that gift of righteousness that's on the inside of you. By reason of use, you train your senses to discern good and evil. Senses, I'm not only not going to give you crack, but since you're giving me so much trouble, you're not getting any food for 7 days. And then it might be 14 days, and then it might be 21 days, or it might be whatever. Now, the thing of it is, your flesh will get trained. Fasting has a lot more to do with that than I realized. You can really start slowing down that voice of the flesh. Amen? It's time to mature by exercising our senses through the use of the gift of righteousness. I said that really well. Did you get that? Did you get that? All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your flesh don't like it? I've started confessing this now when everything in me is hating the fasting. Not everything. but I'm hating it. Y'all know what I mean when I say that? It's not just me, right? So I'll start right when it's the worst. Now I'm saying, because I'm talking now from my spirit, I'm learning. Right when I'm miserable, everything in me would, I would exchange my house for a donut at that moment. You know what I mean? It's bad. It's bad. And I'm training myself to say, to speak from my spirit and say, I love fasting. I love bringing this flesh under dominion. I love exercising my flesh to righteousness. Flesh, this is good for you. And the flesh goes, no, it's not. I'm dying. It's good for you. I'm exercising you in the law of righteousness. We're going to grow up because we need, when we come off of this, we don't need milk so much. It's time for some strong meat. Amen.